a traveller's tale of sorts for you now on Sunday Extra, but not destinations. No, we're going to talk equipment. Suitcases, to be specific. Now, these days, luggage is built for convenience, but once upon a time, it was built for porters, for servants. Great piles of it, cumbersome trunks, putting the lug into luggage. And the suitcase? Well, it has a surprisingly short 120-year history, charted quite delightfully in a recent article by Daniel A. Gross. Daniel is a journalist in residence with the Max Planck Institute for the History of Science in Berlin. He joins you now via Skype. Daniel, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Daniel, luggage is one of those wonderful things, and you point this out in your piece, one of those wonderful things that change over time, but that change mirrors much broader shifts in human activity.
You can see in the shape of the suitcase, in the materials the suitcase is made of, the advent of steamships, railroads, automobiles, and finally airplanes. And you can track each of these transformations in the thing that nobody really notices, which is this container.
And going even one step back from the technology, there's the whole notion of human travel, which was a thing that people just didn't do, at least poor people didn't do. The idea of tourism is a recent development.
It is, yeah, especially travel for leisure. I mean, you can find people that migrated or that would have maybe done a pilgrimage sooner. I mean, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. But travel for the regular person, the middle class, the lower class, that really happened in the last 200 years.
Yes, and that's wrapped up in technology and all that change. But let's go back to that big pile of trunks sitting on the quay there, Daniel, waiting for the steamship. Talk us through some of those stages, those evolution that takes us to the modern suitcase.
In the moment before suitcases were popular, there were a huge variety of types of baggage. And this was one of the surprising things in my research. Many of these types of bags I had never even heard of. So there were carpet bags, which I'd heard of. It has a little handle and it's made of a cloth carpet instead of something stiff. But then there's club bags and there's portable wardrobes, which are basically wardrobes complete with hangers and drawers that would just fold up and you'd take it with you. And then there were alligator skin bags. And the suitcase is sort of a footnote. It's sort of just this secondary type of container that suddenly takes on this importance as people realize that it's more convenient than carrying something like a trunk, which was the other typical container. A huge, heavy, often wooden or even iron box that you'd put all your stuff in. And so the container was half of the thing you're carrying. Whereas today, suitcases are supposed to be as minimal as possible because it's all about the stuff inside.
Yes, those big cumbersome things, there's two things to say about that. One is the circumstances in which they were carried, and that's interesting, and that determined their robustness. And the other thing is, the other assumption around here is that none of this is carried by oneself. All of this is carried by the help.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, when travel was primarily an upper-class phenomenon, you could just hire someone and they would do it for you. And so there's really no incentive for the traveler who's got lots of money to create something that's convenient to carry or at all pleasant to carry. And I think that you have to imagine this army, really, of servants, of train porters, of hotel bellhops that would take your luggage from the place you get out of your carriage or out of your steamship all the way to your hotel or to wherever you're going. And it's something that to us today is completely foreign, since travel mainly happens with individuals carrying their own bags.
Yes, you would just walk along ahead, oblivious to all of this, and then arrive in your staterooms where the staff had lovingly, probably in their quarters, recreated your dressing rooms, you know, from afar.
So it's just very... Open your portable wardrobe, and there it is, yes. Exactly as you left it.
Ah, lovely. So, Daniel, the suitcase, 120 20 years, as you say, they were around, but their sort of potential as individual items is quite a recent thing.
Yes. The first mention I found of them was in the late 19th century, probably around 1870 is my guess. But at that point, of course, they were not the suitcases we know today, not exactly. They were usually called dress suitcases, and they were literally to carry dress suits. And so inside, they would be designed to slide a dress shirt along with your suit. And then maybe on the side, you'd have a hat box to carry your hat, and even another box, which was called the collar box, and it could carry your collar. So we're looking at a series of specialized, pretty marginal containers, I would say. And that was the type of luggage that transformed into the one we know today.
I'm looking forward to the return, sort of a retro flourish of the collar box. I think we could. I want one of those, and that'll get lost on the carousel. You can you can bet your bottom dollar. So the individual carrying of luggage, where does that date to? When did people start picking up their own stuff and carrying it for themselves?
My best guess is that with the advent of mass tourism, so tourism that's no longer just for the wealthy, people would have been carrying their own suitcases. In America, where I'm from, there was also plenty of individual travel as a wave of migration went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I imagine that individual travel was also a huge part of that. And a lot of this is, again, technological. So if you imagine a railroad, for instance, there might have been a porter there. But once airplanes started coming onto the scene, this was in the 1930s, then it's less convenient to just hire someone because you're often walking onto the plane with your bag directly into your seat.
But the medium is the message here a bit too, isn't it? In the steamer, in the big ocean liner, of course the trunk is fine. The weight and room are no object. When we start to travel by air, well, those things become critical. That changes the entire nature of the game.
Yeah, that's right. The suitcases that would have gone on planes, basically the amount of weight in the plane translates directly into the amount of fuel that the plane is going to use up. And so airline restrictions, even into today, are designed specifically to minimize the amount of fuel, minimize the cost of the airline. And so the weight of the trunk would have been totally impractical if you take it onto a plane. So they have to get thinner, lighter, and they also have to get smaller so that individuals can manage to carry them by themselves.
We sort of go a full circle, don't we? Because, more than a circle, from the trunk, from the entourage, from the gaggle of servants, the separate coach for our retinue and luggage. We sort of want now to be independent. There's a really nice thing in your article where there's a patent. I think it's 1970, isn't it, for the wheeled suitcase. And this is, I think, a sort of a breakthrough moment in total independence with luggage.
Yes, it is. 1970 was the moment that a man named Bernard Sato patented a suitcase that still wasn't exactly what we have today, but it had two wheels on the base, and you'd carry it with a little kind of a leash, like a leash for a dog. And a lot of articles have remarked that this is an incredibly late moment for us to finally put wheels on suitcases. We've had wheels for thousands of years.
Yes.
But I did some hunting, and I found actually that there were patents earlier for both a wheeled trunk, this was in the 1800s, and then a wheeled suitcase in 1945. And the moment that Bernard Sato patented his luggage was actually probably shaped by other pressure. So it wasn't simply that he came up with this great idea, but that was the moment that individual air travel was exploding in popularity. From 1949 to 1979, the amount of air travelers increased tenfold. And those are all people that would love to have some more convenient way of carrying their luggage than by grabbing the handle and lugging the, 30 kilos to your destination.
And of course, those bags evolve. And these days, the modern pull-along carry-on bag, you make the really interesting observation that it's, in terms of its profile and its shape and composition, it's starting to resemble, in diminished form, of course, those old trunks of the 18th century.
Yeah, that's especially true of the big check-in bags. So if you look at a check-in bag with the telescopic handle that pulls out, the dimensions of those bags, it's not really like the early suitcases. So it's the early suitcases would have been something like a hardback book. And the more recent carry-on bags, the big ones that are maybe 30 kilos, look sort of like a shoebox. They're quite hefty. They're quite thick. And that is quite a lot like the original trunks of old, the trunks that would have been carried in the 1800s. And I think most of this is a question of what's convenient. When you have a handle, the suitcase has to be vertically oriented, and the base has to end up taking a lot of weight. It has to not topple over when you use it. And so the logical shape then is something more like what we used to use, is something like this iron and wood trunk from the last century.
My next question will probably be based on what happens next in terms of travel technology. But what do you think comes next? Where do we go to from here? We seem to have refined the suitcase to a pretty high degree. Can it evolve further?
It's a very good question. It definitely will evolve further if the last century has told us anything. Maybe the next revolution will be with space travel. We'll have special suitcases that are, maybe they'll be very heavy, because in space you won't have to worry about
zero
that.
Gravity. Bring back
exactly.
The trunk. Time, Daniel, will tell. We or our children will watch with interest. Daniel Gross.
Thank you very much.
He's a journalist in residence with the Max Planck Institute for the History of Science in Berlin. He wrote this delightful piece on the history of the suitcase. And as a special favour to you, dear Sunday Extra listener, we will put a link to that piece on the Sunday Extra website. $20 to $10, I trust you are now the full bag on suitcases. How'd you go with the DA wordplay this morning? Well, Alison Harcourt, yay you. Congratulations to Alison. She was the first with the correct answer. Here's the clue again.
These union claims.
And we were looking for an anagram unscrambling of that clue. 10 words and 6 was the solution, and it was, and Alison had this first, insulation scheme. There you go. A bit of pink bat action here on Sunday Extra, referring, of course, to the Royal Commission in Brisbane. So, that is now resolved. David Astle will prepare another anagram for you at about 20 minutes to 8 next Sunday morning.